You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be running out of door.
Come over here, kid, will you, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water. You fry some garlic.
It's
and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet. My country, 'tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. It's Michelle and Jordan. Thanks for tuning in. Have you had a good weekend, a good holiday? I hope so. I had a very mellow Thanksgiving this year. I did not cook anything. I went to Safari West, and we had a nice traditional dinner, very quiet. It was just me and 10-year-old Lucas, and, of course, all of the people who were at Safari West. It was just really mellow, which was just what both of us wanted. And then the real high point, I have to say, on Mouthful, Kimberly, thank you so much. Kimberly took us into the barn where the giraffes sleep. You know, giraffes are not used to this sort of climate by nature. And so they are in a barn at night. And they like visitors. So Lucas, Kimberly, and I spent quite a bit of time visiting them. And it's so extraordinary to see this creature who is nearly 18 feet tall look down at you with those big eyes and those really long eyelashes, and then so gracefully move its head down really slowly to see what is that orange thing you're holding in your hand. And that's a carrot. And they have prehensile tongues, which means they can wrap their tongue, you know, around whatever it is, just like a monkey will wrap its tail around a tree to help it climb. They're leaf eaters, and so they can wrap their tongue around things, and their long, huge, black tongues, and have them take a carrot out of your hand. Well, it was just really, really thrilling. And then sleeping at Safari West, which we did, you're entertained to throughout the night just this whole symphony of different bird calls and animal calls that changes by the hour. It's just really an extraordinary place. They have an open house coming up next Sunday, December 4th, and I will be writing about that in my column, also called Mouthful. I may do a blog post about it as well, but it's a chance, if you've never been to Safari West, to just go by, see the lemurs on Lemur Island. And why are there no fences? The lemurs are not in a cage. They're just there on this little island. And Lucas asked me why, and I got him to figure it out. So maybe you want to see Lemur Island and why you don't have to put them in cages when they're surrounded by water, which is a giveaway. Anyway, there you go. That was my Thanksgiving. One other thing I wanted to remind everyone of. In the past, farmers markets have often closed, and a lot of farmers markets do still close, some at the end of the summer, some at the end of fall, some at the end of November. But this year, we will have farmers markets year-round on 4 days. Wednesday and Saturday is the Santa Rosa Regional Farmers Market, still in the eastern parking lot of the Vets Building in Santa Rosa. The Sonoma Farmers Market on Friday mornings, just north of the square on, what is that, East 2nd, East 1st, in the park there across from the hotel. No, I'm not giving you names. Just go out East Napa Street, turn on the east side of the park, and you can't miss it. They've been year-round for a really long time, 8:30 to noon. And now, in good news for everyone in West County, the Sebastopol Farmers Market is for the first time going year-round. A lot of people are in the habit of just stopping after Thanksgiving because that's when it's always ended for something like 15 years. But it's now year-round, so don't miss your Sebastopol Market. And on that note, I'm going to welcome my guests. We have a great event coming up. If I have it right, it's the 10th annual.
That's right.
It's the 10th annual Dining Out for Life. One of the great reasons to go out for dinner in December. And we have with us, once again, I have lost track of how many times you've been on Mouthful, Ron. It is Ron Karp of Food for Thought in Forestville.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. And we also have the chef of one of the restaurants, one of the many restaurants that's participating. We had Todd Davies of Corks at Russian River Vineyards. Thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It must be kind of hard to get away on a Sunday night.
Generally, Sunday nights are chef's nights off. So,
oh, cool.
I went in and did a little charcuterie and cheese spread for tonight.
That's right. We have some yummy things to eat.
Bottle of wine, and we'll have that in a little bit.
Cool. Well, if you want to, you can pop that cork anytime.
Okay. I will do that.
And we're getting this year, and I don't know if it is it always the case that Dining Out for Life takes place on World AIDS Day, or is that a convergence this year?
It's just a convergence this year. It takes place on the Thursday after Thanksgiving. So, and, you know, World AIDS Day is December 1st, so they coincide about once every 6 or 7 years.
Okay. That was a nice sound. What is it you're pouring, Todd?
This is a bottle called Charbono.
Charbono.
There's only 86 acres of this planted in the United States right now. We're lucky to get a lot of it from the 09 vintage, and it's just a fantastic bottle of wine, Ron. I'm going to pass that over to Michelle. Cheers.
Well, thank you so much for bringing this and for bringing nipples. Before we get to Corks, and I have lots of questions I want to ask you about Corks. There's something about the location that is really spectacular. Let's frame Dining Out for Life first.
Well, as you said, this is our 10th annual Dining Out for Life. And this year we have 80 restaurants that are participating. And that's, you know, as you know, that's this Thursday night. We're actually all day Thursday. So all people have to do is go out to eat, and the restaurants do all the work, and they are donating either 25 or 50% of their proceeds to Food for Thought to help feed people with HIV and AIDS.
Yeah, it's a pretty remarkable, it's a substantial donation, 25 to 50%.
It is, really. What we like about this event is that, you know, the restaurants are supporting us, and there's a lot that we can do for them as well by getting our supporters and other people to go out to eat as well and turn this night into like one of their biggest nights of the year.
Yeah, and learn about restaurants you might not have known about before.
That's right. It's a great opportunity for restaurants to do a lot of promotion and get new customers.
Mm-hmm. And it's really just like going out to dinner. I mean, you don't, or breakfast or lunch or all three, which is what I say, hey, if you have the time, you know, you can really support the day by going out three times.
It is, but you know, there's one thing that's different about going out to eat on this night. A lot of the restaurant owners realize this, and they really love the event for that reason, and that's that people are there for a cause, and rather than feeling like the table next to you is too close and that people are bothering you or that they're too loud or that you don't like the way they eat or, you know,
all those things.
Exactly. It's more of a celebratory atmosphere, and so it's like a community event where you're in a restaurant and everyone's there for the same reason. And rather than being criticized for different things, the restaurant owners just feel like this is just a wonderful evening, and they don't have to worry about that.
Now, I remember the first year, and I went to, must have gone to K&L Bistro, first or second year. They've been there 10 years. So anyway, there was a representative of Food for Thought.
Yeah, we call him an ambassador.
Ambassador, right. Does that still happen?
Yes.
So at every restaurant, you have someone
So far, we have 130 ambassadors that are working
that day.
Wow,
I was going to say, there's a lot of participating restaurants. That's mm-hmm. a lot of volunteers.
We're trying to fill every shift. There's a lot of restaurants that are doing breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm-hmm. So we're recruiting volunteers for breakfast and lunch as well as dinner. Mm-hmm. I know we still have some restaurants that we need to fill for lunch.
Mm-hmm. And what is the function of the ambassador?
Well, what they do is they tell the diners about the event and that it's supporting Food for Thought and that the restaurant's donating. They invite their friends, do a lot of promotion to help fill the restaurant, and they also distribute our raffle envelopes so that people can enter the drawing. And we have great prizes, including two round-trip tickets anywhere in the United States
really?
And Virgin Airlines.
Wow.
Yeah, so and there's no cost to enter the raffle.
Uh-huh.
There's one other thing that we do, and Corks is participating in that as well. We started this last year. Anybody that donates $25 or more will get a 20% off Tuesdays card, and they can use that all year on a Tuesday night, and it's good for 20% off of their bill for everybody at their table. So, you know, one use, and it pays for itself.
Sure, and some restaurants, not all restaurants, but some restaurants are participating
that's
in
right.
that, and that's how it works.
Yeah, this year we have 21 restaurants.
Uh-huh.
And I used that myself this uh-huh. year. It was great. So I got to go to some of my favorite restaurants.
And so that lasts from like now until this time next year?
That's right.
That's great. You know, Dining Out for Life isn't something that only happens in Sonoma County. Can you talk about the larger
Sure.
aspect of it?
It was founded in Philadelphia almost 25 years ago, and what they did was they decided that the event was so great for people with HIV/AIDS. All the Dining Out for Life around the country support people with HIV, mm-hmm. that they wanted to spread it, so they incorporated as a nonprofit, and there are now 60 cities in the United States and about 5 or 10 cities in Canada that do this event. And there's a national board. I'm actually on the board of directors, and it governs over this event to make sure that it does benefit people with HIV and that we continue to recruit new cities and keep the standards of the event very high.
And then how does that money then spread out and benefit your clients?
Well, this event has grown every year for us, and now it brings in well over $100,000 a year, which is about 1/7 of all the money that we raise. So it's really critical to our efforts, and we use this money exclusively to buy food and provide services for our clients.
Mm-hmm.
So it is just amazing how much good it does just this one night. Of course, for us, it's more than one night. We've been getting
sure,
ready
for
this.
Sure, you've been working
this.
For a while,
That's right?
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a little musical break here on Mouthful, and we'll be right back. We'll talk about restaurants that are participating, and we'll also hear about Corks.
When Emma Rose was 10 years old, her father passed away. She cried to think he'd never see her on her wedding day. And then her mother sickened and left her on her own, saying, Emma Rose, it grieves me to leave you so alone. Years she was courted and wed by Danny J, the neighbor boy, a fine young man, they said. And in the flowering of their love, Emma had a son, and Danny left one morning before the rising of the sun. How long will it be till your return? keep the candles burning. The years went by and Emma Rose grew bitter in her grief. Of all the men that came and went, none gave her any peace. And even age could not erase the beauty in her face. But Emma Rose had eyes for one who left without. And tell me, how long will it be till you're returning? How long must I keep the candles burning? Emma lives alone now, the child is grown and gone. Some say they see her now and then on the day she goes to town. And if you're traveling north, there's a mailbox on the road, and all it says is Emma Rose in letters faint and old.
That was, of course, Kate Wolf, which, yes, my favorite Kate Wolf song. I love that song, Emma Rose. Can never get enough of it. We're talking about Dining Out for Life with Ron Karp and Todd Davies, executive chef at Corks, who's participating at the 50% level. That means 50% of the receipts from Thursday, December 1st. Goes to Food for Thought, a really great organization in Forestville and an extremely happy place. It is just, I love that. I love Food for Thought, the gardens, the feel of being there. It's just really remarkable.
Thank you.
I'm wondering, what's the right way to, what's the question to ask here? I mean, are there other organizations like Food for Thought in other parts of the country?
There are, actually. There's one in almost every city that has a lot of people with HIV.
Uh-huh. And function similarly?
Well, we do things slightly different in that we provide food for people to cook themselves, and some mm-hmm. organizations provide prepared meals. It really depends on the severity of disease in uh-huh. that particular area.
Uh-huh.
You know, like in San Francisco, Project Open Hand is the right. organization that's uh-huh. similar, and we cooperate with them. We buy food for them. We buy prepared meals for our clients that are too ill to cook because we don't have our own kitchen.
Right.
So they have both a food bank like we do where they have groceries, and mm-hmm. then they have a kitchen where they cook meals and deliver meals to people that are too sick to cook.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's really wonderful organizations all over the country, and I know a lot of the people that work at them, and I've been to conferences together, and it's just an amazing network of people that care so much about the health of people in their community. It's really heartwarming, especially at a time when it seems like, you know, some of these values are really not important anymore.
Yeah. How did it get started? I mean, is it just really from the ground up, total grassroots effort?
It is, and you know, we've really stayed true to that. But it started because there were people in the community, a handful of people, that looked around and saw that there were a number of their friends that were shut in their home, too sick to go out and shop or cook for themselves, and they were dying of AIDS, you know, lonely and starving. And they said, This just can't continue. So they got around, really the folklore is that it was around a kitchen table, and I think it actually was. And they said, we're going to put a stop to this. And they founded Food for Thought, and this was in 1988.
Mm-hmm.
So we're over 20 years old
yeah.
now.
And it's just really grown. If you've never been there, it's at the corner of, it's on Railroad Avenue in Forestville.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful location.
It
really
is.
Wonderful location with a garden, you know, that's overseen at least to a large degree, by the amazing Doug Gosling, who has to be one of the best gardeners on the planet.
I know. We're so fortunate. You know, when we built this building, and we moved in 1999. We built it in 1998. And we were able to design and build from the ground up.
I didn't realize that.
And what we did was we wanted to create a place that was not like what you would expect when you go to see a social service organization or a food bank. Mm-hmm. A place that was warm and inviting and didn't make people feel like there was something wrong or that they mm-hmm. didn't deserve what they were getting. So when you pull into the parking lot, you're surrounded by these incredibly beautiful gardens. And when you walk into the lobby, there's a high ceiling with a beautiful floor and a wonderful painting, actually painted by my sister-in-law, and a welcoming lobby with couches and tons of food, produce. It's just an incredibly welcoming environment, and our volunteers are happy and hug people, and you know it couldn't be a better place for people that are sick and mm-hmm. have a disease that you know is difficult to live with to come to.
Now the services you do, you have a lot of fresh produce.
We do. We emphasize that, and we grow it as well.
Right, and then you have supplements.
We have very important nutritional supplements. We have a nutritionist that advises clients on what to take as mm-hmm. far as that goes. Then we have a lot of high protein foods because people with HIV need a lot of protein. Mm-hmm. So we have meats and fish and tofu, cheeses, dairy products. And then we have lots of canned food and convenience food for people that don't want to go to a lot of trouble to cook. Mm-hmm. And lots of bread and things that are donated by our local businesses. Mm-hmm. So we have an incredible selection of food.
Yeah. And you do the food drives as well, like outside various markets.
Yeah, we do, and that's become very important. Uh-huh. We raise a lot of money and food from those food drives.
One thing I always wonder when I see them, because I'll look and think, oh, God, what's the best thing to do? Do you buy a whole selection of things and think about what a family might need for a week? Or do you go in and say, I'm going to buy 20 bags of organic black beans? What's a good strategy when you want to donate when you're coming out of a market?
Well, you know, I think everybody has their strategy. Some people really like the idea of buying food that somebody's going to take. That's their action. And other people realize that we're buying wholesale, so we're probably getting a better deal, so they donate cash. But, you know, we want to support the markets, too, so we mm-hmm. don't tell people to just donate cash. We give people the choice, mm-hmm. and then they can do what feels best to them.
Mm-hmm. But is it better to go one way or another? Is it better to buy, say, 10 cans of tuna or something, or a selection of things? I mean, what's a good way to think about it?
The bottom line is that we're going to get a lot more food if you donate cash than if you bought it.
Okay.
Because we're going to buy it at wholesale.
A different price. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. That's really good mm-hmm. to know. Let's bring Corks into the conversation now. You've already given us this nice Charbonneau wine. Russian River Vineyard label, right?
That's correct.
And, the Russian River Vineyards has a really long history in Sonoma County. It was owned by the Topolos family for long time.
That's how we are referred to out there, and we're slowly breaking away from that, forming our own identity, doing great food, supporting great causes mm-hmm. such as Dining Out for Life. We try to support local farmers and local producers of different items. Example would be I have 6 different cheeses from Northern California, mm-hmm. Artisan cheese makers. We have Columbus salami and Taube salami. Columbus, of course, being San Francisco, mm-hmm. Long time North Beach tradition, and Taube's from Marin County. So we try to support the little guys as much as possible.
Before we get there, how are the bats?
Bats are great. The bats are hibernating, actually.
Yeah. They go up to – last I talked to anyone about this, they were pretty sure the bats left here and went to Chico for hibernation.
A couple of weeks ago I had a woman and her son, teenage son, come in. They were very hesitant, coming into the tasting room, and they said, "We heard you have bat caves." And I said, "Well, it's not bat caves necessarily, but we have an old winery building out back, and you're more than welcome to go out. They will be out in probably half an hour, 45 minutes, because I'd go out and watch them during the summer." I don't know if they hibernate to Chico.
That's what I was told. I put them in a book I was writing.
Is that right?
And I talked.
Interesting.
I can't remember now if it was someone from the Topolos family, but whoever I talked about, they said, "Oh yeah, sometime in late October, usually in late October, they leave,
right,
and they come back in April, and they hibernate in Chico." I don't know anything more than that, really.
When I would watch them come out during the summer, literally, they'd come out in swarms of hundreds.
Oh, yeah, hundreds and hundreds
and,
of them.
And I went out and talked to the woman and her son right as the sun was going down, when I knew they'd be coming out. And they maybe saw 50 come out. So, yeah, they're definitely
heading out.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, I think they were Mexican free tails.
I'm not sure what they are.
I think they're either Mexican free tails, little big brown bats, which are actually really little, or a combination of the two.
Right.
And they were living in the hop kiln shape.
Exactly, yep.
And they, when there's that very last, like, ribbon of sunlight on the horizon,
you think
it's too late. That's when you see them throwing themselves out. And, you know, it's a great place to dine after dark.
Because
you guys don't have any mosquitoes.
There you go.
It's really great. Each Mexican free-tail bat will eat 600 flying insects per hour.
Wow.
And you had thousands of them, so it was a
right.
great place.
Yep.
And, yeah, I love bats. I'm a member of Bat Conservation International. And if anyone is interested in bats, I really recommend that you check out Bat Conservation. Just Google it. I think it's batconservation.org. It's not BCI. That gets you to some weird shopping site. But it's one of the treasures of West County. So tell us what you've done with the restaurant.
I came on board about a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. and we are doing some fantastic things with food and just great service.
Is it lunch and dinner?
It's lunch and dinner. Actually, we have brunch items on the lunch menu as well, so if you want eggs, you're able to get eggs all afternoon. We have an afternoon menu that has a lot of artisan cheeses on it.
So by afternoon, do you mean in between lunch and dinner?
Yeah,
so you serve continuously now?
We do. Right. From 2:30 to 5, we have an afternoon menu that has we have a great hamburger, Geo Burger is what we call it. It's a half pound with mushrooms and sautéed onions and gorgonzola cheese. And we have a chicken sandwich, a lot of different cheese tastings, mm-hmm. and salami tastings, charcuteries, mm-hmm. stuff like that. So.
Cool. And how many days a week are you open?
We're open 7 days a week right
wow.
now.
How's business?
We open at 10. Uh-huh. It's slowed down. We are looked at as like a summertime dining on the patio place. So mm-hmm. wintertime, we slow down. But we're still there. We're mm-hmm. open 7 days a week. We start serving brunch, lunch at 10 o'clock in the morning. And
at 10, you open that early?
Yes.
Wow.
We do. So
that's a great place to play hooky.
There you go. Come on out. It's not, you know what? Everybody thinks it's so far out in the country, and it really is. It's 10 minutes from Santa Rosa,
yeah.
just north of Sebastopol on 116.
Yeah, it's right in between Sebastopol and Forestville.
Exactly.
It's easy to get to.
It's not that far out there.
Well, why don't we take a little musical break and then come back, and you're going to tell us everything that you brought in these two platters.
Fantastic. Thank you.
songs across the sky. There's music in the waters flowing by, and you can hear a song each time the wind sighs. And the golden rolling hills of California, so long, love, since you said goodbye. My cabin's been as lonesome as a cry. There's comfort in the clouds drifting by. The golden rolling hills of California. So I'd fix the road as best I can. There's just some things that need a man's hand. In the golden rolling hills of California. In the golden rolling hills of California. There's music in the waters flowing by. You can hear a song each time the wind sighs. The golden rolling hills of California. The golden rolling hills of California.
It's Mouthful. It's Michelle Jordan. If you are just joining us, welcome. We are talking about Dining Out for Life, taking place Thursday, December 21st. It's a benefit for... What did I say?
21st.
Did I say 21st? December 1st. You know, sometimes I can look at my own name and not say it correctly. December 1st, this Thursday. It's a benefit for Food for Thought, Sonoma County AIDS Food Bank. It's taking place all over the county, all over the country, 60 different cities, I believe it is. And this year it coincides with World AIDS Day.
Yes.
Yeah. We're talking now with Todd Davies, who is the executive chef at Quark's, one of the participating restaurants, participating at the 50% level. That means that 50% of the day's proceeds go to Food for Thought, a really great thing. So tell us what you brought.
We have a cheese plate with, I guess there's six cheeses on there, all from Northern California. These two are from a company called Cypress Grove.
Humboldt Fog?
Humboldt Fog. This is Humboldt Fog with the vegetable ash, and this is truffle trimmer. Smells, big truffle smells and flavor. We have, this cheese is interesting. It's Schaff's blue cheese.
And
actually is aged in gold mines in Placerville.
That's a very nice cheese.
Yes, it is. It's mellow. It's not overly pungent in your face. Great food cheese. This is Belle Dry Jack cheese from Sonoma. Kind of put Sonoma proper on the map, if you will, before they made their great wines over there. And we have two cheeses from Redwood Hill Farms, which
one looks
is,
like camellia.
Yes, that's camellia, and one is Creton. And Creton obviously is modeled after Creton de Chavigny. Mm-hmm. It has actually been pitted against the Creton de Chavigny in France and won taste tests. So,
yes, we've had Jennifer Bice from Redwood Hill before, and I'm hoping to have.
Right.
They're doing a lot of new things as well. They've come out with this whole line of other products.
Actually, they're doing cow's milk.
Yes, they're doing some cow's milk cheeses, and they're doing a really lovely sour cream. And we hope to have them on sometime before too long.
I'll pass it.
Oh, look at that! Sending me cheeses, yum yum. And the Villa Dry Jack,
some bread
of course,
there.
A cheese that I almost always have in my refrigerator. And then on the other platter you have, I can see some olives, some pepperoncini.
Yes, the olives are from a person called the brewer and olive person in Sebastopol. He actually specifically makes olives for me at Course Restaurant.
And what's his name again?
His name is Paul Feinstein.
Okay.
And as I said earlier, the two salamis, Columbus salami
Columbus
from
Sam's and Hobbs.
And Hobbs, yeah, mm-hmm. from Marin. So,
and it looks like some either pears or Asian pears.
Asian pears from Sebastopol.
Okay, and then you've got something in addition. From this distance, I cannot tell what it is.
There are two mustards. We have a white wine Dijon mustard and a fruited mustard. Pairs with the salamis beautifully.
Cool. And now, is this something that somebody would have in the restaurant?
We have different variations of these dishes specifically. We have a charcuterie plate actually that has these two salamis on it, mm-hmm. and the Villa Dry Jack, and a cheese called Rouge A Noir triple cream brie from Marin as well.
Marin French Cheese Company.
Yeah, exactly.
The only cheese company that is in Petaluma and Marin County.
Yeah, exactly.
The same building.
Right.
So I want to know some of the stuff that's actually on your menu other than what sounds like a really good burger. I know that there were elements of Greek food when Topolos were running it.
We do not. I would characterize my cooking as Sonoma wine country cooking, mm-hmm. if you will. If you want to get more specific, it would be California, Mediterranean, really. Mm-hmm. Our climate mirrors.
We're such a Mediterranean climate,
yeah,
yes.
Exactly. So I have a lot of French elements and a lot of Italian elements mm-hmm. on my menus. I really try to use as much local ingredients as possible. Uh-huh. We are trying to be as sustainable as possible. We are not Topolos. We are miles and miles away from Topolos.
So there's no more of the Greek selections.
No, absolutely.
So you don't go out there, and you've changed the name, but I know people still get confused.
Right. Yeah.
No
you
more
know,
Saganaki.
We're trying to get past that,
sure.
and we're doing a good job of getting past it.
Yeah, they were there for a very long time.
Yes, and I think that I go around to a lot of the wineries and talk to tasting room people and stuff mm-hmm. like that, trying to drum up business. And a lot of the wineries directly in the area know Quirks very specifically mm-hmm. and are referring. But if I get out a little further, Healdsburg and certain places in Santa Rosa, they still will refer to it
back.
That's where the old Topolos is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yes. When did it change hands?
3 years ago, actually.
It's only been 3 years?
Yeah. It's
wow.
I think that they were, there was another incarnation after it was Topolos, and then the current owner purchased it 3 years ago and opened Quirks, and I've been there for a year and a half. So,
Where were you before?
I started my career out working for Charlie Palmer and David Burke in New York City, mm-hmm. Then moved to San Francisco and worked for, and you'll probably know the name, I'm not sure that a lot of other people will, for Albert Torchman at the Flying Saucer.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jeremiah Tower, I opened restaurants for him and became a chef partner at Lark Creek Inn with Bradley Ogden.
Oh, okay.
So
Bradley Ogden, friend of Mouthful, Bradley Ogden.
Right. I have some good names on my resume. I've learned a lot in the process of working for a lot of great chefs.
Mm-hmm. So I want to be a little bit geeky for a couple minutes here. So bear with me. everyone says these days, you know, fresh and local, and we want to be, we want to use local purveyors.
Yes.
What does that look like? I know that for a lot of people in restaurants, they pick up the phone, they call their purveyors, and they order, you know, 3 cases of tomatoes, 6 cases of romaine lettuce. And I know that when you're shifting, or I understand that when you're shifting to something more local and more seasonal, that, that shifts. So I'm just wondering how it works from the point of view of operating a kitchen.
Summertime, obviously, is different from wintertime. Summertime, I'd hit the farmer's markets.
So you'd go to the farmer's markets.
Sure. And I'd have a tomato farmer, for instance, Peachtree Farm, in winters that I've been using for 15 years. And he has just automatically, you know, so Todd is at a different restaurant now. We're going to deliver to Todd. Right now I'm getting quite a bit of stuff from Kendall Jackson. Kendall Jackson has great gardens.
Yeah,
exactly. So I'm getting all my lettuces from them, arugula, a lot of microgreens, different microgreens, amaranth, which is a beautiful red earthy microgreen, daikon sprouts. But wintertime, it does become much more difficult to really source out local stuff. Yeah, there you go. Chioga beets. Kendall Jackson just got the email
beets,
this morning.
Parsnips.
Yep, they're going to root vegetables now pretty soon. A lot of winter squashes, and that stuff is. We usually get that stuff through our produce companies. Andy's Produce right in Sebastopol actually is I use them for quite a bit of my stuff. And they try to source locally.
For a big market, they do a pretty good job sourcing locally.
But it does get to be cut and dry. I only want to use local stuff. It kind of limits what you can do on the menu. So you do have to. I mean, we have to get stuff from Southern California. We have to get some Mexican stuff. But we try to limit our carbon footprint as much as possible. And one example is the cheeses. I don't have any Italian cheeses or French cheeses. And there are great, great cheeses from France and Italy. But why would I want to put something on my menu when we have beautiful cheeses in Northern California and the rest of America for that matter, but mostly California.
Have you ever thought about starting a restaurant garden?
We have a garden.
Oh, you do?
Actually, we do, yes.
Yeah, because I know there's space there.
Oh, there's plenty of space.
Yeah.
We had it. It was not as big of a garden and as not as well organized as I would have liked this summer. We did get quite a bit of stuff out of it. My goal for next summer is to, when July comes around, not to buy any produce.
Really?
That's may
awesome.
Be a lofty goal, but we're getting it together as we speak, and we're going to not be. We're going to make sure that it gets done come January, February. We're going to make sure that we are prepared for when the rains stop, and we're on it. So we're going to have all of our savings going in January, and hopefully come July, we'll have people coming out to eat 100% Russian River Vineyards garden-grown produce.
What a great thing. Good luck on that.
Thank you very much.
It's a beautiful place to make that happen.
It is. We have the room to make it happen.
And you have the bat guano, too.
There you go. That's it.
Great fertilizer, bat guano. If you've ever looked at the price of a box of it, you know. So that stuff is really valuable. One more musical break, and we'll be right back.
Telephone's ringing, the radio singing, song. Too well. So pick up the phone, here all alone. Who's calling? I really can't tell.
Hello out there, you know I was just thinking.
friend. She comes now and then to stay till the long night is through. And there's more where she came from, more of the same one. That's more than I can say about you.
It's mouthful. One thing is we've been doing is we're talking about Corks and Russian River Vineyards, sort of assuming everyone knows exactly where we're talking about. So we should probably be a little bit more specific about the location. Yes, it's between Sebastopol and Forestville. You'll elaborate.
5700 Gravenstein Highway North, also known as 116.
Yes.
You're down the long and up the long hill, and then down, we're down at the bottom of the next hill, right next to Kozlowski Farms.
Mm-hmm. And on the west side of the freeway.
That's correct.
Yes. So really easy to find. You guys always have big signs out there. So I meant to ask you this off mic. I don't want to put you on the spot, so I won't. But can we talk at all about the winery?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Our wines are made by Anthony Austin. We are organic. We do source grapes from other areas. Obviously, the Charbonneau that we have here is from Mendocino County.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a Merlot that is estate, and we do a Pinot Noir that is estate. Mm-hmm. We also get Pinot grapes from Marin and from Freestone as well. So we're doing about 2,500 to 3,000 cases of wine a year right now. We are planning on building a we are actually producing the wines off-premise right now.
Oh, yeah.
We have every intention of building a winery on-premise on the old crush pad at this point. And we're going to do a straw bale winery.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Straw bale building is so interesting. There's been that big fence going up
On
116 between 116, Sebastopol and Cotati. It's been very interesting to see that. I'm trying straw bale gardening myself this year to see how that works.
We're actually delving into that a little bit too.
Yeah. So it's a good way to fight the gophers.
Yeah. There you go.
The gophers don't dig up into the straw bales. So I'm holding out great hope.
Hopefully.
Yes. So you have the tasting room on premises, but not the production facility.
That's correct.
Okay. Interesting. But used to be a production facility, is that correct?
It did.
Used to be.
The production facility actually is where the bats live, and we do some special events in that building as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a grand old structure. It's worth a visit out.
Absolutely.
To just when I first drove up, I was in awe. Just like, wow, this is amazing. The building actually was built in 1968, and it was modeled after some of the other Russian buildings up north.
The old hop kilns.
Exactly. Right, St. Ori's and some of the buildings up there.
Yeah, so and those vineyards have a long history of being organic.
Yes, they do.
I know that Michael Topolos shifted to organic quite a long time ago, one of the really early ones. So that's really great. That's fabulous land there.
It's interesting, the books that the Topolos used when they were turning into organic are still in the office.
Oh,
and
really?
Once in a while I'll pull a book, and it's just very, very, very interesting reading.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got just a few minutes left because when you're on Mouthful, time flies. So let's return to Dining Out for Life. But stick with you, Todd. Are you going to do just your main menu? Or are you going to do a special menu? Anything different?
You know what? I haven't really gotten that
far yet.
You're
a chef. Of course you haven't.
Exactly. No, I'll think about that when I order meat tomorrow. But no, you know, we are very... we're nice food, great food, mm-hmm. But we aren't exorbitantly priced.
No, you're
our,
not.
Our appetizers are $8 to $12 for the most part, and our entrees are from $19 up to high 20s. And for the quality of food that we're putting out, I feel that, we're very value conscious.
Mm-hmm. And are your menus online?
We are in the process of updating our website. Uh-huh. I'm not sure where we are in the process, so I don't know if it's a sample menu online at this point.
It's another chore we all have to do.
So we are in the process of actually being able to go in and update the menu mm-hmm. on a daily basis. Because we do change the menu quite a bit.
Yeah.
You won't see, and especially as the seasons change,
sure.
as we get deeper into the winter, we're gonna get have a lot less options. We're gonna go to the root vegetables and mm-hmm. the winter squashes.
But at the same time, we also will have Dungeness crab soon.
There you go.
And such things, the things you only have during the winter. So back to Dining Out for Life. There are, dozens of restaurants. You've added a bunch in Sonoma.
Yes. This year we have 12 restaurants. Last year we only had 3, and that just didn't seem like enough. So now we have plenty.
And you can just look through. You have Bodega Bay, Cotati, Forestville, Grayton, Gurnville, Healdsburg, Kenwood, Monterio, Occidental, Petaluma, Roanoke Park, Santa Rosa, Sebastopol, a lot in both Santa Rosa and Sebastopol, a lot in Sonoma, Valley Forge, and Windsor. The one town I don't see here. There's nothing in Villa Grande.
Oh, we'll have to add that next year.
Villa Grande has been on my mind lately because they say the post office is closing, and I really hope that doesn't happen. Reservations certainly recommended for dinner.
Definitely. You know, Todd was just saying off the air that this could be the busiest night of the year, and they're almost full. So, I mean, they still have places left, but I encourage people to make reservations.
So you've already got a lot on the books.
Oh, we have a ton on the books. Yeah,
uh-huh.
It definitely is one of the busiest days of the winter, without a doubt.
That's a great thing.
And, you know, the restaurant list is easily accessible online at diningoutforlife.com. And you just click on the map on Sonoma County, and you'll get to our page. And then you can see all these restaurants. You can see what types of food they have. You can actually make a reservation through Open Table if you'd like. So there's lots of information on the website. People can call us at Food for Thought if they need more information at 707-887-1647.
That's 887-1647, diningoutforlife.com. You can go through, you can do things. Like if you can go to 3 meals on Thursday, you can pick one place that you've been curious about but haven't been to yet. Pick another place close to home. Pick another place that's doing a 50% donation. There's just all kinds of ways to make it inventive, entertain yourself, and benefit one of the really great organizations in Sonoma County.
Yeah, and, you know, there's something unique about this event, which I was thinking about on the way over, and that's that it blends three important values that I think almost all of your listeners probably share, and that's the importance of food, good health, and community, because they all come together for mm-hmm. this event.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you can feel really good just doing something that you do many other times of the year.
And I really liked what you said about those people at the next table. You know, they're not so much strangers on this night. I just mm-hmm. love that. I always love it when people at other tables talk to me in restaurants. We can be so stiff sometimes out in public.
Yeah, so
that's
true.
Another really great thing. It's a great community event. I hope it's more successful than ever. I love that it's taking place on World AIDS Day. It's a great way to observe it. So good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck. And thanks to you for tuning in to Mouthful. We'll have another live show next Sunday here on KRCB. In the meantime, have a great week. Don't forget to visit at least one of your local farmers markets and treat yourself and your friend and loved ones well. It's Michelle Anna Jordan.
Dinner, now let's go eat. We got some beans and some good corn bread. Now listen to Mouthful is produced by Michelle Anna Jordan. It's engineered by Lawrence Alberti and Eric Black. For more information about Mouthful, email to catsmilk@sonic.net. That's catsmilk@sonic.net. You can also go to krcb.org and download podcasts of Mouthful, as well as from iTunes.
And the moral of this story, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough, even he'll get hungry too. And he'll sing, to the Lord that praises me, it's time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says. To the Lord that praises me, it's time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says. To the Lord that praises me, it's time for dinner now, let's go.
Good cold,
listen to what the preacher says.
Shout to the Lord, praise his name.